Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
We've come to a wonderful part of our service, time when we pray together. It's our family custom here that if you have a special burden or trouble on your heart, you can join me up in front as we pray. Shall we kneel for prayer now? Almighty God, the Creator and King of everything, of the whole universe, our dear loving Father, thank you for the privilege today that we have to bow and worship you and admire you. We appreciate the warm sunshine you're giving us, the promise of spring. We thank you for life and health, and we thank you for truth. We thank you for the Bible, your word, that tells us about what a kind and loving God you are. We'd like to stop a moment and ask you to please forgive us for our sins and to thank you for putting us back on the right track, for cleaning us up, giving us a clean start. Jesus, thank you for such wonderful things we're celebrating today. The beautiful lives of Bert and Jackie Osborne and their baptism today. We thank you for life and health that you give us. We thank you for so many things. But now we also bring to you our needs, our special concerns. You've said we never bother you with this, that you love us to come to you. As a church family, we're bringing one of our members, Florence, before you, who's right now in the hospital with a fractured pelvis. Please help her, Lord. We can put her in your hands and know you do the right thing. Jesus, we each individually bring you our needs right now. With the thanks that you hear our prayers, you understand us, and you're right now working to answer our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for answering all our prayers, for hearing us, and that someday we can see you face to face when you come in the clouds of glory. We will be so glad. Thank you. May that day when you come be soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Time for the children's story.
Our pastor today is going to be talking about a man named Job in his sermon. And one characteristic of Job, one thing about Job, was that Job obeyed the Lord. Job obeyed God, and Job loved God. So anyway, this story today is about obeying, and has to do with Max. Here's a picture of Max. We're gonna think about obeying, and then later in the sermon, we'll listen about how Job obeyed the Lord. Mama wanted a puppy for her birthday, so Daddy gave her one as a surprise. His name is Max, said Daddy proudly. Mama looked at Max and said, "Is this a puppy?" "Of course," said Papa. "He's only 6 months old." "What do you notice about Max?" "He's very large." Might not have been what Mama had in mind. Mama looked at Max and asked, "Is he going to get bigger?" "A little," said Papa cautiously. Mama looked at Max. I laughed. Max was already as big as me. "Happy birthday, dear," said Papa. Mama and I take Max for a walk every morning. He has a bright blue leash that fastens onto his collar. Max loves to walk. He pulls Mama down the sidewalk and stops and sniffs bushes and flowers and spots on the grass. "Good morning," Mr. Wilson calls over the fence. "Are you taking your dog for a walk or is he taking you?" He laughs and cuts a rose for Mama. "I'll take Max to obedience school," says Papa. Max stands on the back porch with his front feet on the window, puts his nose against the glass, and looks at me and barks. Max wants to come inside and play. "Obedience school is a very good idea," said Mama. "Max will be more fun to be around once he learns how to obey. He will be safer and we will be happier." You must be patient with your dog, says the teacher. Some dogs learn very quickly, and some dogs need a lot of practice. The teacher looks at Papa and Max when she says that. Max bounces up and down on the end of his leash. He looks like a giant, fluffy, gray and white wind-up toy. You know, says Papa at supper time, we are all like Max. I look at Papa with surprised eyes. The first thing Max had to learn at obedience school was how to pay attention, says Papa. He has to pay attention so he can know what I want him to do. We need to pay attention to Jesus. We need to know what he wants us to do. Papa and Max practice every day. Max is learning to walk beside Papa and not pull him down the street. But Max doesn't walk perfectly with Papa yet. Sometimes he makes mistakes. Sometimes he is naughty. Sometimes he just sits there on the sidewalk panting with his big tongue hanging out of his mouth and won't move at all. Come on, Max, Papa coaxes. Sometimes Max sees something he'd like to chase, like leaves or Mrs. Scriven's cat. Come back, Max, Papa shouts. Papa is very patient. He keeps working with Max. Papa smiles and says, well, Max, old boy, I love you. We'll try again tomorrow. I think God is like Papa. God is patient with me. Sometimes I make mistakes. Sometimes I am naughty. God smiles at me and says, well, little girl, I love you. We'll try again tomorrow. God, please help me obey your rules because that makes me happy. Help me want to obey your rules because that makes you happy. And so I want you to think about, in when you listen to the sermon today, when you hear the pastor say the man's name Job, I want you to think about Job and how he was like Max and how Job learned to listen to God and to obey God. And that made Job happy, and that made God very happy. So we want to grow up and we want to listen to God because that will make us happy. Okay, thank you. I'll give you your paper.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Job, the first chapter and the eighth verse, Job 1:8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?
This morning we're going to consider Job. You know, Job is held forth in the Bible like some Bible characters, Daniel and David and others, who really loved the Lord and served him. And I believe that these stories are put in the Bible as shining examples to us to inspire us to live the kind of life that they lived. And so today we're going to take a look at Job and the kind of faith that he had that led him to endure much suffering and so forth for the sake of the Lord because of his love for him. Have you ever heard of the saying, I escaped by the skin of my teeth? Have you ever used that saying before? Do you know that Job was the one who originated that saying? It's written there. He had an experience where he came very close to death, and he said, I escaped by the skin of my teeth. And so it was from Job that we got this this saying. But I believe that Job has passed on to us something much greater than that saying. He's passed on to us an example of the kind of faith that we can have as we serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, most sermons that you hear about Job are basically focused on the great controversy theme, that the battle that goes on behind the scenes between good and evil. But today we're not going to look at that theme per se. We're going to look at the life of Job that led him to be trustworthy, that led him to be the kind of man that God could say, look at my servant Job. Look at this man who's blameless, the one who I can trust. And so we're going to look at what clues we find in the book of Job of the kind of godly man he was. I'd love to have the same thing said about me by God, that I'm a blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And perhaps you feel the same way. You'd love to hear those words spoken by God about you. So let's be inspired as we consider Job. Some of you may not have ever heard about Job or read the book. You know, it's one of those books. I remember the first couple of times that I read my way through the Bible, I read through the book of Job really puzzled and not really understanding it. It was strange, you know. But through studying it a little bit deeper, I've seen that there's great, there's wonderful things in there that we can learn and learn about God. But just to summarize the story for those of you who may not, know the story very well, Job was a very wealthy man. He was, in fact, one of the wealthiest men in the East in his time. And God had really blessed him, and everything was going well. He had a wonderful family, 10 children, and great riches. But he loved God and he served him, and he knew that all that he had come from God. One day, of course, God was approached by Satan, and God said to Satan, you know, have you considered my servant Job, just as we read for the scripture reading? And Satan turned around and said to God, the only reason that Job is serving you is because of the things he gets from you, the benefits that he gets. But God knew better than that. He knew that there was a motive of love in Job's heart that motivated him to be faithful to him. And so he allowed Satan to take everything that he possessed, everything that he had. And so if you read the book there, I'm not going to, you know, go into those details, but all his possessions quickly vanished. There was disaster after disaster, including his 10 children who died as a result of one of these disasters that came. And of course, you know, if we lost everything that we had, we'd be devastated, let alone losing our own children. That would be very traumatic. But we find here in the book of Job that even though this happened to Job, he did not lose his faith in God. In fact, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Could you say that kind of thing if that happened to you? I don't know if I could, but I want to have that kind of faith. You know, it must have infuriated Satan when he saw that happen, that Job still loved the Lord. He still was faithful to him, even though he lost everything. And so the book of Job tells us how Satan went back again, and God points out again the love and the loyalty of his servant Job, and Satan says, yeah, but you touch him. You physically afflict him, and he'll turn around and curse you. So God gives him permission to afflict Job. And, of course, the book tells us about how he was really suffering under all these boils and so forth. And even through all that, he didn't understand what was going on, but he still was faithful to the Lord. He still trusted him. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Now that's a real faith to be inspired by. So let's look at why he could do something like this. How his faith could remain unshaken through all the terrible tragedy of losing his 10 children. How he could still love God in the midst of losing all of his possessions. And how he could still remain loyal to God in the midst of severe pain and suffering. And still trust him, even though he didn't understand what was going on. I believe that Job was an outstanding example of a Seventh-day Adventist. I believe that, I'm not going to go into the details, but if you study the book of Job, you find that he believed the same precious doctrines and beliefs and had the same hope that we have. He had the hope of salvation. He had the hope of the second coming, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of seeing God face to face himself, as the Bible tells us. But I'd like for you to follow along with me if you have a Bible that you can look along. We're going to do a little Bible study. We have to jump around here and there in the book because we get little clues, little glimpses here and there about the kind of life that Job lived. So if you'll turn with me to Job chapter 19 and verses 25 and 26. Job chapter 19, verses 25 and 26. Here we find kind of a profession of his faith right here. Job 19, 25 and 26, he says, for I know that my Redeemer lives. Who's his Redeemer? It's the same one as ours, isn't it? Jesus Christ. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. You can see that passion within him, that he longed to see the coming of Jesus. And he knew that every eye would see him, just as the Bible teaches when Jesus comes. And this was, I believe, what he lived for every day. I believe that that every day he made preparation to meet Jesus, if he was going to meet him that day, or if he was to die that day. And that's why when disaster struck him, he was ready to meet it. If you turn back to chapter 1 of Job, let's have a look here, and let's see a little glimpse of the kind of preparation that we can see Job made in being ready for Jesus to come, or ready if tragedy should come. Job chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And I believe that every one of us should make the kind of preparation every day that if tragedy were to come to us, or we were to lose our own lives, that we would be ready for Jesus to come, that we would have that kind of faith that is anchored in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Job chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. It says here, and his sons, the children of Job, would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day. Now, it doesn't tell us what that appointed day was, but I kind of use my imagination, and I think that perhaps they were celebrating their birthday. Who knows what it was? But each of them, when the appointed day came around, would invite their brothers and sisters to come and eat and drink with them, to have some kind of celebration, some kind of party. Now, it doesn't say that in this verse that it was a worldly kind of party where there's drinking and revelry and wild music and all that kind of thing. I think that they were just having an innocent good time, you know. But Job knew that even in the midst of having a good time, an innocent good time, that it is possible to forget God and start wandering down a path that will lead away from the Lord. And verse 5, it goes on and says, so it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. Now, what does it mean to sanctify? To sanctify means to make holy. What does it mean to make holy? To be holy is to be like Jesus. That's what to be holy is. And so here we see that Job was very careful to make sure that his children were ready to meet Jesus. Reading on, it says, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. You can see that Job really cared about the salvation of his children. He really cared about what was going to happen to them, and he wanted them to be ready. And so, you know, in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 2, don't turn there for the sake of time, but I'll read it to you. It says there, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. I believe that Job took it to heart. He realized that life is temporary, and he wanted to be ready whenever the end of his life or the end of his children's lives would come. I can imagine that when he called his children together, that he said something like this. My precious children, I need to know, do you still love Jesus? Do you still want to serve him with all your hearts? Are you still committed to being his loyal servants? I need to know. I want you to be with me in heaven, and I can't take it for granted that you will just be there. I'm going to offer a sacrifice for each one of you. And I want to make sure that you are going to be saved. And then I imagine that he would have said to them, do you have any sins that you need to confess? Have you wandered away from the Lord in any way? And I'm sure that he appealed to their hearts and urged them to come back if they had. And I can imagine that perhaps one of his sons would say, you know, Dad, when we were having that party, I told a joke. It was really off color, and I feel bad about it. I feel guilty, and I regret having done that, and I'm sorry, and I want to confess this to God and ask his forgiveness. And I can imagine Job looking at his son and saying, "Son, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for humbling yourself and being willing to confess your sin. Let's kneel together as we offer the sacrifice, and let's look to the Redeemer who is to come, Jesus." Well, of course, he didn't know his name was Jesus, but to Christ who is coming, and let's put our faith in him who promised to forgive our sins. And I can imagine that they knelt down there as they offered that sacrifice and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so he was very, very careful to make sure that his children were ready. Of course, when disaster struck, I'm sure he had much grief, and he was very sad. But he had the kind of grief that those have who have hope. It's not a grief that is like the world has ended. It's a grief that in the midst of all that sorrow, there's hope. There's a looking forward to a day of reunion. There's looking forward to that time where there will be the resurrection and a meeting together again. You know, Job really lived for this day. And even though he was a wealthy man, you know, the tendency when we're wealthy is to just live for this life. The tendency is to, you know, to surround ourselves with all the luxuries and pleasures and to really live it up if we have money and wealth. But we find in the book of Job that Job was very careful not to put his trust, not to put his hope in his wealth. If you'll turn over to chapter 31, we get a glimpse of this here. Job chapter 31 and verses 24 and 25. And another place, Job had said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, he knew that everything that he had came from the Lord. And you know, the same thing is true for every one of us. Everything we have has come from the blessing of the Lord. We don't have anything without him being the one who has provided for us. And notice what he says here in chapter 31, verses 24 and 25. He says, "If I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gained much." He doesn't finish the sentence there, but if you read that chapter, you can see that he's actually defending himself because he had miserable friends who were there saying, "You are suffering because God has afflicted you because of your sin. You've got some hidden sin, some wickedness in your life, and God is punishing you for it." And Job's saying, "No, I've served God faithfully. And if I'd put my trust in my wealth or any of these other things, maybe you have a point. But you don't have a point because I have been faithful and I don't put my trust in my wealth. I put my trust in the Lord." You know, the Bible teaches us that we should do the same. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, if you want to keep your finger there in the book of Job, just turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 10. Paul is teaching Timothy the same lesson, and I believe that is recorded here in the Bible for us today. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 10. Paul says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Doesn't matter how much you have, whether it's little or much. Whatever we have, God has provided it and we can be content. He goes on, he says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." I think Paul got that from Job. "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I believe that Job was very careful with his children because he didn't want them to trust in the great wealth that he had. He didn't want them to lose sight of the Lord and live for the life to come. Paul goes on and actually says in the next few verses, he says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things." What is it that he's telling them to flee? Flee that desire to be rich, to have possessions and to live it up in this world. "Flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." These are the things that are going to last forever. These are the qualities of character that are going to carry us from this world into the next. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called. That sums up the life of Job. That's the kind of life he lived. And God blessed him and could trust him with riches because of the faith that he had. He didn't put his trust in there. And so Job was a very faithful steward. That's what a person is called who is given something to take care of. Job was a faithful steward because he knew everything came from God. And he could say, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not only did Job live that kind of life, but he had a hope that burned in his heart. And because he had that hope burning in his heart to see Jesus come, he also had a passion to win souls to Jesus. And you know, every single person that gets their life right with the Lord Jesus, who is preparing for him to come, has a burning desire for others to be won to Jesus. They have a passion to see souls won. And he had this passion. In one place, I'm not going to turn there in the book of Job, but he said, I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. I have not concealed them. In other words, I haven't just heard and stored it in my heart and just kept it to myself. I've not kept it to myself. I've shared it with other people. And we find that he was one who shared his faith with others. If you'll turn to chapter 23, we get a little glimpse here of his kind of obedience to the Lord because of his faith and trust in him. And chapter 23 and verse 12, he said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now there's faith. And when we treasure the word of God more than our necessary food, that's what Jesus taught. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This was the kind of life that Job lived, and he shared his faith with others. He was a real witness for the Lord. Chapter 30, if you just turn a page over there to chapter 30 and verse 25, he not only had this knowledge of God's word in his head, but he had a living experience of doing what God says. He was a living example of what God was like, what God is like, I should say. And in chapter 30 and verse 25, notice what he says. Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? You see, Job really cared about people. He really loved people, and he was reaching out to them. And if you turn to chapter 31, verses 19 and 20, notice what he did with the possessions that had been entrusted to him by God. He says, if I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep. Here again is an unfinished sentence, but we can see here that Job was one when he saw a need and he had the ability to meet that need out of his wealth. He met that need. He gave. He took care of those who were without. And so he had great compassion on the poor and the needy, and he reached out to them wherever he saw them. You know, the Bible teaches us this valuable lesson. As Christians, as representatives of Jesus, we need to be reaching out and helping the poor and the needy with the possessions that God has given to us. In fact, you know, the Bible tells us that you've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah, that Sodom, you know, we think of the sin of Sodom as being the sin of homosexuality. You know, that's the thing. When you hear of sodomy, that's what comes to your mind. But the Bible actually paints a different picture as to the sin of Sodom. In the book of Ezekiel, we're not going to turn there today, but there it says that the sin of Sodom was that in their great, all their possessions and the wealth that they had, they did not help those who were in need. That was one of the great sins that brought the punishment of God upon them. And as representatives of Jesus in this world, with him living out his life within us, we will do the same thing. We will share with those who have a need. And that's why, as Adventists, we have a standard where we believe what the Bible teaches in this regard, that we don't we don't have extravagance. Well, we try to avoid extravagance, I should say, spending money on those things that are unnecessary, the adornments and things that really, if that money was given to those who are in need, would benefit them and they would have food to eat. In fact, you know, I've seen some figures where if all the money that was spent on adornment in this country was spent on feeding the hungry, that there would not be a hungry mouth in the world. So you see, God wants us to use his resources to care for other people. He wants us to be faithful stewards and not just hoard things to ourselves. You see, it's really love for others like God has that counts on the eternal scheme of things. And it's love for those who do not have, or even love for those who have hurt us and who have harmed us, that really shows the character of God. So Job was careful, very careful, not to harbor bitterness in his heart, not to have hatred or to feel like he needed to get revenge with anyone who harmed him. And probably he had the power to do that with all his wealth and so forth. But in chapter 31, verses 29 and 30, notice Job 31, 29 and 30, he says, "If I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, indeed I have not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for a curse on his soul." Here we can see that he didn't, you know, when somebody who was perhaps an enemy to him, when something bad happened to them, he didn't rejoice in his heart. He didn't think, "Ah, oh, serve you right, you know, you whatever." I'm sure he prayed for his enemies like God has told us to do, and to do good to those who curse you and wrongfully use you. So Job really lived out the teachings of Jesus, and we see a wonderful example of Christ-like character in him. And you know, this is the privilege of every born-again Christian who is baptized into Christ and is abiding in him. But you know, we must ask the question, had Job always been that way? Was he always this blameless man? Well, he gives us a little clue into that in Job 13, verse 26. If you want to turn there, he tells us. In fact, he's speaking to God in this particular chapter. Job 13, and verse 26, he says to God, "You write bitter things against me and make me inherit the iniquities of my youth." So here Job is admitting, you know, there was a time where I was foolish. There was a time where I had wandered and strayed away from the Lord, and I had done some things that I had regretted. And he was saying to God, "Perhaps you are punishing me for these things of the past." But then he knew better than that. He knew that God is not like that. When God forgives, he wipes it out. In fact, the Bible says that he casts our sins into the depths of the sea, and he removes our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. He believed that, and we see that in chapter 23 and verses 6 and 10. Chapter 14. I'm jumping ahead of myself here. Chapter 14 and verse 17. Notice what Job says. He says, "My transgression," in other words, the iniquity of the past, he says, "is sealed up in a bag, and you, God, you cover my iniquity." So God, he knew that God forgives. He knew that he puts these things in the past and does not hold a person to their sins once they've been brought to the cross and been confessed and covered by the blood of Jesus. He knew that. And because he was so grateful for this pardon and this forgiveness, I believe that is why he served God from the gratitude of his heart. And you know, because he served God with that confidence in Jesus Christ as being his Savior, he was not afraid of the judgment. He was not afraid of that day that one day, you know, when he would see him face to face. He didn't worry about that because he knew what God was like. He knew that God was for him and not against him. And in chapter 23, we get a glimpse of that confidence. Chapter 23 in verses 6 and 10. Here he says, Would God... contend with me in his great power? You know, it's a fearful thing to come before the almighty, powerful God. It's a fearful thing to come into his presence in, you know, our own sinful condition. It's a, I would, you know, all the people in the Bible who saw him in some form fell flat on their face. It's a fearful thing to come before him, but notice he said, would he contend with me in his great power? No, but he would take note of me. And verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. In other words, he knows that I have chosen to follow Jesus. He knows that I have committed my life to him. And he says, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, Job was in the process of what the Bible calls sanctification. Job was learning from the daily lessons of life. He wasn't a blameless man because he was just born that way. He was a blameless man because he let the Holy Spirit lead in his life. When he came under conviction for something that was wrong in his character or wrong in his life, he took it to Jesus and he confessed it. And then he asked for God for the grace and the power that he needed to overcome and to become like Jesus Christ. And so here we find the confidence that he had that God would complete that work in him. That's what the Bible teaches, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the confidence that God wants us to have in him and in the judgment to come. You know, because he had this hope in his heart of seeing Jesus Christ face to face, he was cooperating with God and he was purifying himself. The Bible says in 1 John 3 that everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And so we find a glimpse of this in this book, chapter 27. If you want to turn there, Job 27, verses 3 and 4. Job 27 and verses 3 and 4. He says, as long as my breath is in me and the breath of God in my nostrils, in other words, as long as I live, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. You see, he'd made a conscious decision that he was going to turn away from all evil. And in chapter 31 and verse 1, notice something else about his purpose to be an upright man and a pure man. Job 31 and verse 1, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? You see, throughout the ages, every man has struggled with the lust of the flesh. Every man has struggled when he's looked at a young woman or he's looked at an attractive woman. And he knew that he needed to discipline his mind, his thoughts. He knew that when he looked and there was a temptation, that he was to look away. He was not to, you know, to let that thing develop in his mind to where it would bring forth sin. And so he was very, very careful. And I believe that every man should make this covenant. Every man should say to his eyes, look away, you know, when tempted. Because every man struggles with it. Today, it is prolific. There are so many who are struggling under the temptation and the availability of pornography and so forth. Every Christian man needs to make this covenant with their eyes. You know, Job had a hope that was burning in his heart. And it was that hope that made all the difference in the world. It was that hope that made him the man that he was. And even though he didn't understand what was going on, because of that hope and the trust he had in Jesus Christ, God could trust him. And I believe that God wants every one of us to become trustworthy, where no matter what happens in our lives, we know that we are still in his hands, that he will protect us from losing our eternal life, even though we might get sick and even though we might die, Jesus will still resurrect the righteous. And so he wants us to put our hope and our trust in him so that he can trust us also. You know, as we come closer to the end of time, every one of us may go through a similar ordeal to Job. We may lose everything. We may even lose our health. We may even die before Jesus comes. But we can glorify God. And God can look down at us and say, have you considered my servant such and such? A blameless and upright man or woman. You know, today I believe that Bert and Jackie want to be that kind of person, someone that brings glory to God. And they are going to today be washed from their sins symbolically, and they're committing their lives to Jesus Christ. And they are doing this because they have the hope that Job had. And we praise God for that today. And I'd like to invite them to come forward at this time to take their baptismal vows, because they are vowing, like Job, to live their lives to the glory of God.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come again on this Sabbath day thanking you for what we have witnessed, the renewing of two lives to your service, the hope that they have in a salvation that's been promised. We pray that you'll be with each of us, that we will all renew in our hearts and in our minds the salvation that you give to all. Bless each here as individuals. Bless the Osborne family and those that are connected. May your grace and your love abound for them. We know that the devil is going to work hard to discourage. And as we bring our petition to you, we ask that you'll send the Holy Spirit especially to be around them, that what they've started today, they can continue without the devil's work within them. Bless each of us as a family and as individuals. Be with our association now as we part from the sanctuary and go to our fellowship. Be with each of us. We ask that God's blessings will be granted to each, for we ask in thy name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.